Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And talk some more about the Cavs. We were just talking about the Cavs moments ago. Like I said, the 11-0 start is great, but the real reason I know this team is good is because they keep finding different ways to win. And to me, that is like the mark of a great team in this sport. And I think that's going to continue to come to fruition here in the weeks and months ahead. We'll see if they can make it 12 tonight. 12 would be nice. The win streak continuing would be nice. But I don't know that we have to like put all our eggs in that basket because as Darius Garland said, it's about a lot more than that. Eric did ask at the end of last segment though, is it too soon to start talking championship with the Cavs? And I am never going to be the guy telling you to lower your expectations. Like have my Spencer Davies, friend of mine, former colleague of ours here at the station. And he was on earlier, I know, with Mitch and Jake. He always says that expectations are a robber of joy. Like, they steal joy away when you set expectations because you end up then being disappointed if they don't reach them. And I understand what he's saying with that. And normally, like, as the fan that I am would like to keep the bar low so that I don't get disappointed. I do that with Ohio State all the time. I do that with the Red Sox all the time. I mean, hell, I bet on the Red Sox fish with the worst record in baseball this year. But this Cavs team is super fun. I'm not usually going to tell you how to be a fan. And so if you want to start talking championship, I think it's fair. They've beaten everybody they're supposed to at this point. They are a wagon right now. There are going to be some tests along the way in the form of the Boston Celtics, most notably coming up here. They got two games in like a two-week span on the 19th and then the 1st of December. So we'll get to see how they match up head-to-head for the first time. But here's the thing, guys. Like, even that matchup or even those matchups, we know that it's different than when you get to the postseason. Playoff basketball is just different. And so for me, I'm okay talking championships and thinking this team has a chance to compete for them. But what's really going to prove to me if this is a championship caliber team is what they do in the postseason, truly. And so I don't want to just gatekeep and be like, no, don't have expectations. It's not the playoffs yet. We need to see them in the playoffs first. Like that doesn't make it. I said this before, but like the season, these sports are supposed to be sports are fun because you go week to week and game to game with expectations and you get excited about the possibilities of things. So I think it's totally fair to do that and it makes the season more fun and enjoyable for all of us to sort of follow. But I'm keeping the bar where it's at right now, which is Eastern Conference Finals. I think for me, it's like I've just been reassured that they should at least be able to get to that point by this start and by beating a team like the Warriors the way that they did. I said it earlier, but I think that Warriors win is like the statement of the season so far. That was a testament like, we are here. We are of your model because Kenny Atkinson has some of that Steve Kerr strategy in his brain from working underneath him for the last couple years. And, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with. I do not understate that. Like, that told the rest of the NBA, the national pundits, everybody, you got to take this team seriously. It can't just be a, you know, the Cavs aren't going to roll over and be the soft team that they were accused of being in recent years. They're different this time around. And so I Eastern Conference Finals, at least, if you're raising the bar at this point, I think that's fine. I want to see, and it's going to be a while, but like I'll probably by the time we get there believe that they have a shot. But the playoffs is where this team will really make its statement. If they're able to get out of the second round and accomplish at least that goal, then yeah, like of course they'll have a really good shot. But I want to see what they do to teams in the playoffs that are scheming for you and only you before I go fully to championship caliber. And I say that knowing that probably by March, if they're still playing really well and leading the East, I'll probably be there anyway. So we'll just have to see. 216-474-0092. If you want to talk Cavs with me here, at Spencito _ on Twitter, if you want to get involved in the conversation as well. I'm curious from you out there listening. Yesterday, we went to this Jurassic Quest. It was at the IX Center. My son is 2.5. He loves dinosaurs. We had the bye week. We were trying to make the most of it, so we did some family time stuff. We went to this dinosaur thing, and there was all these rides, and it was a good time. He had a good time. He colored this dinosaur picture that he's now like taking everywhere with him in the house. He can't put it down. It's great. It's the cutest thing ever. That's not what I want to talk about though. When we parked the car at the IX Center, we had to pay $10 to park. I get out of the car once we're parked, look down at my feet, and I see a very wet $10 bill on the ground that had, I guess, fallen out of maybe the car next to me, somebody's purse, wallet, whatever. And instantly I'm like, oh, shoot, $10. I'm picking this up. Basically got free parking for the day. How about that? Okay. And as the day unfolded, I kept thinking about this $10. I was like, man, I can't believe I found $10. That's a pretty good amount of money. I never usually get that lucky. Usually I find like a dollar on the ground. I'm a pretty empathetic person. People who are close to me or know me know that by now. Like I think about like, oh, what about the person that lost the $10? That's like the thing I do. I put myself in their shoes. I do that maybe too much sometimes. My wife says it can be sometimes a weakness for me, which is probably pretty true. But I was thinking about it like, listen, nobody's really fretting $10 when it's all said and done. Maybe 20 would be a little bit more. 100, I think, would probably be something where it's like, okay, that's a pretty significant amount of money to like most normal middle class people where they're like, man, I can't believe I lost a $100 bill. But it got me on this thought process and this tangent where it's like, what is the amount of money that your reaction isn't just pick it up and keep it, and you know what? I probably should try to get this back to the original owner. Like, in my scenario, there was no way I was ever going to find the original owner. If I walk around this Jurassic Quest thing, asking people, hey, did you lose $10 in the parking lot? Every single person I ask is going to say yes, and they're going to take that $10. Like, nobody's going to, there's no, like, real judge, jury, or executioner there. It's just, somebody wants $10, they're going to take $10. Most people probably don't think much of $10 anyway. So they're like, eh, who's going to miss $10? And they'll just take it. So I'm not, like, most people, I think, in my shoes would have picked up the $10 and not tried to find the owner. I'm not saying I was trying to do that in this instance. It was ridiculous. But it just got me wondering, what is the amount of money where you're like, yeah, I probably should try to get this back to the owner? It's easy when it's like with a purse or with a wallet where there's an ID, and then you can just be like, okay, we'll get this back to the right person. But when it's just loose money on the ground, I don't know, man. Like, if I found a $100 bill on the ground, I'm still just picking it up and keeping it. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's gas for like the next 2 weeks. Let's go. Depending on how prices are impacted by the election, we'll see. It could be up, it could be down. Maybe it's 3 weeks of gas. We'll have to find out. But no, like, I'm just keeping it if it's $100 or lower. If you found like a banded $1,000, you trying to find the owner for that? We were talking during the break, Kayla, like, what you're supposed to do, right, is like take it to the police station and then...
Yeah, they say if somebody doesn't claim it in 30 days, then it's yours, but...
But can't any Joe Schmo just show up and claim it?
I mean, yeah, or one of the cops. That just feels like taking it.
I mean, listen, we've seen all those mafia movies. We know about dirty cops. Let's be real here.
I don't think I would worry about it unless it was something super important.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Packful, like enough to pay rent.
Like a suitcase full of money.
I feel like I would be getting set up if it was a suitcase full of money.
You're
somebody's
like
watching
around,
me.
I'm like, they're putting me on a nope. You're not gonna get me today.
Candid camera show of what would you do? And then
maybe Keith has cameras. They know no bounds.
He doesn't need any more power than he already has.
Let's go to the phones. Is this Gavin or just Gavi? Oh, it's Gavi. Okay, Gavi, what's up, man?
What's up? How you doing? I was working as a server about 2 years ago, and it was near the end of a shift, and I found $200 on the ground, two $100 bills, you know, crisply pressed together, which, you know, obviously is a lot of money. You know, looked around. Does anybody have, like, look like they're looking for money? Asked some people, did you lose any money? You know, you got to do what you got to do. I wasn't going to give it back to the restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, there weren't that many more people there.
When you asked people if they lost money, what was their response?
I just went up to, like, one table with a bunch of people, and I was like, did anybody lose any money? They look funny, you know, at me, like, thinking, like, what, they need money from the waiter? You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, that's cool. Like, I'll keep it, you know?
Because that's the thing. Like, it's an awkward conversation to have because you're going to go up and ask people, like, hey, did you lose money? And they're either just going to be like, yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I did. And they're just going to take advantage of the situation. Or like you said, they're going to be like, why is this guy asking me if I lost money? Like, I you know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like in a case like that, you do what you got to do. Like, I looked around, you know, at the people sitting in the bar. Is there anybody looking like they're, you know, looking around? But once you do that, you know, it's fair game. Now, if it was like $1,000, I feel like I might have lingered around a little longer because at that point I would just be hoping that if I found the rightful owner, I could get, you know, maybe $200 or $300 if they had, a kind heart, you know.
They'll give you a reward. Yeah, I could. That's a fair thought process. I understand where you're coming from, Gavi. I appreciate the call. Real quick here, Jared in North Ridgeville. How much money is the amount that you would start to try to at least find the owner?
Yeah, I would say, you know, about $100 is what I would say. And I also think it has a little bit to do with age, because one time I was with some buddies in a grocery store parking lot, and we looked down and we saw a $100 bill, and then about another 5 feet we saw another $100 bill, and we were both, you know, really excited. We're like, let's look for more. But as we looked up,
I thought it was like a leprechaun, like leaving money behind or something like that.
Yeah, but funny enough, it's kind of funny how you say you were thinking about it through the day, because this happened to me, you know, 12 years ago, and I still think about it sometimes, because when we looked up, there was like a nice red Corvette pulling out of the parking lot. And, you know, at the time, I mean, I was in high school, like, I'm like, this is a lot of money to me. But as I got older and more mature, if I was in that same situation, I honestly think I would have probably tried to run the car down, like, you know, before it pulled out, like as it was backing out, and just ask. Because I'm a big believer in karma, you know, and I think you do the right thing and right things will come your way.
That's a good point, Jared. I appreciate the call. Karma, I too tend to believe in some form of karma that exists out there. I clearly didn't think about that when I picked up that $10 yesterday. I was like, this is mine now. Free parking, baby. Let's go. I didn't care about any of that karma. Sure, it'll come back to get me somehow. I'll probably walk out.
Whoopsie-daisy!
I'll probably walk out there and have a ticket on my car tonight, even though it's Veterans Day. Who knows? Karma's coming for me, but I guess it's coming for us all. I don't know. I guess the consensus for me is, like, if it's $100 or below, I'm just keeping it. If it's anything more than that, I'd think about it. Once you get to $1,000, I guess you got to at least try to find somebody who maybe lost that chunk of change, but times are tough out there, man. I could use that $350 too. 216-474-0092. We will try to get to more of your calls here in the final hour on the Cavs, the Browns, or otherwise on how much money you can find on the ground and keep it. When we get back, though, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, going to join us. We'll pick his brain about the state of the Browns, Deshaun Watson, what he saw watching the tape back of his six games, and much, much more. It's Spencer German with you, 92.3 The Fan. Does the streak stay alive tonight? Do they push it to 12-0 against the Bulls? We'll talk about it coming up. Real quick, though, guys, I thought the midday show, which was co-hosted today by Mitch Spinell and Jake Volnick, and I thought they did a tremendous job together hosting, filling in for Baskin and Phelps. It was great. And Mitch brought up the question he posted as a poll question. He asked, is this season basically the lowest point for the Cleveland Browns since 1999? Now, I misinterpreted this. I misinterpreted the poll initially. I thought they were saying, like, I thought for some reason it was like 95. Like, I thought they were going back all the way back to the mid-90s of, like, has this been rock bottom, including the team leaving? And so I, like, sent Jake this text. I was like, if you think this year is rock bottom, like, you're a fool, because nothing is worse than losing your team. Like, having your team taken away from you. You'd rather have a team to call in the 92 through the fan and bitch about because you're mad than not have a team at all. That, to me, would be rock bottom. But then I got clarification that they were referring more so to everything since 99, which makes actually a lot more sense when you really think about it. So I apologize for messing that up and losing the context of the actual question here. But along those lines, the two biggest answers, and as I sort of pull up the poll here, the two biggest answers are the 1-31 stretch 2016-2017 with Hugh Jackson, or 2024, this year that we're living in right now. And so it's funny because I called Jake a fool for saying this year, because I was thinking that that was including the team being moved. But then I actually took my insult back, because I said, I actually think it's this year. I understand why that might sound crazy, because in the grand scheme of things, like, 1-31 in 2 years is as embarrassing as it gets. And, like, you stripped the organization down to nothing to reset and get to the point where you have, like, star players like you have now. And, you know, like sitting through that for 2 years was miserable for everybody involved. And I do, you know, I still feel badly for the fan base that they had to deal with that. But here's the thing. During the 1-31 season, you at least knew what to expect. You knew that the team was going to be just historically bad, even though Kent Carman talked himself into it after a 4-0 preseason. You knew the team was going to be historically bad, and you just were kind of living with it because there was light at the end of the tunnel. There was something to be hopeful about on the other end of 1-31. It was, oh man, if we get through this the way that we hope we can get through it, we're going to have players like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb, and at the time, a Baker Mayfield who was potentially your franchise-changing quarterback. Like, there was a lot of reason to we suffered through that because we knew that there was good things to come on the other side, and it worked. You got yourself all those players. You got yourself to the playoffs in 2020 with those guys being the main sort of contributors to that season, to winning a playoff game over the Pittsburgh Steelers and taking the Kansas City Chiefs to the brink in the divisional round. Like, that all came to fruition because of 1-31. And that was the goal. You knew that was the end goal. The reason this is rock bottom, and it's more than just Jake's argument, I think, was there were Super Bowl aspirations this year, and they're 2-7. How is that not rock bottom? It's not even about the expectations for me, because there's plenty of seasons, the Browns or otherwise, where a team goes into things or goes into a season and they have this massive expectation for themselves. I mean, the 2021 Browns had these massive expectations. The 2019 Browns with Freddie Kitchens had massive expectations and then fell flat on their face. That stinks. That sucks. But it's not rock bottom because you can like see the path forward. It's like, okay, we got to change our roster. You can always talk yourselves into different things. The reason this is rock bottom is because you had those expectations. You're going to fall woefully short of those expectations. And I don't know that there's like an easy path forward or like an easy solution to the problems or a way out of the current situation. It's the Deshaun Watson thing is the reason this is rock bottom. Because you aren't getting the level of quarterback play you thought you were getting when you traded for Deshaun. And you now have two more years fully guaranteed years of his deal to work to figure out how to navigate just to keep yourself competitive. And it might involve even him being back part of the picture because there's no way out of this. And so that strapped you salary cap wise and really going to prohibit the Browns from being able to do much maneuvering and all these different things. And then you throw in the fact, and I've said this a bunch of times already, the fan base seems more galvanized about the team since Deshaun got hurt than they had all season long up until that point. And I don't mean that as like, I'm not sitting here saying anybody who cheered for Deshaun was right. No, you don't cheer for players that are hurt. I'm just sensing like the energy and the emotion around the team. It felt very Joe Flacco-like after they win that Ravens game with Jameis Winston, more so than it did the weeks prior where it was like people just dreading these games on Sundays. Like, I understand 1-31. There's been some years where the fan base has been, it's been hard to grab your attention because the team was bad. I'm telling you right now, though, like this year, those first six games, I don't know if I'd ever seen this fan base as lethargic and indifferent as they were for that stretch. I'm being 100% serious. Like, that stadium had no juice to it, had no buzz to it. Fans you interacted with on social media, they're all just, it's all just doomsday. People you talk to out in the public, they're all miserable. They're not enjoying the season whatsoever. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they knew no matter what happens this season, they got two more years of this with Deshaun on the other side potentially. And I understand we're all jumping up, and I'm there too. We're all jumping into this idea, into this bucket that there's no way you can put Deshaun Watson back out there next year. I still think that's the case. And I've also been banging the drum for like, you don't need full rebuilds to turn your entire team around. Like, you don't have to strip it down like you did for the 1-31 seasons. You can draft the right quarterback, make a couple other moves, and hopefully you put yourself in position to still be a competitive team and get back to the playoffs. I still believe that they can do that, but it's a lot harder with the Deshaun Watson contract looming over this thing. And so the reason this is rock bottom is, yeah, they had expectations, but I can live with having expectations and then not living up to them because we've seen that before. It's the fact that they had expectations, they didn't meet them, they're not going to meet them even or even come close, and you know that you're stuck in this current situation with this quarterback who's controversial, hasn't played very good football, that you traded three first-round picks for another 2 years, even if he's not here, it's at least going to hold you back from being able to push the chips into the center of the table the way that maybe they would be able to if that wasn't an albatross on your salary cap or on your books. So that's why I agree with Jake. I think this is rock bottom for this franchise since 1999.
F***ing thing sucks!
There you go, Jake. I got your back on this one. 216-474-0092. Is this rock bottom for the Browns organization since 1999? We'll get your thoughts on that. Also, I want your Cavs calls here. Last chance to get in on this Veterans Day before the Cavs and Bulls tip off at 8 o'clock. Do they... The finalists for the 2024 Baseball Writers Association of America AL Manager of the Year. AJ Hinch, Matt Quatrero, and your own Cleveland Guardians manager, Stephen Vogt. There you go. As expected. Now, maybe Nick and JP can run it back tomorrow when they return to their slots here on Afternoon Drive and debate whether or not AJ Hinch should be manager of the year over Stephen Vogt, which was JP's take. So you guys can get on him for that. Just going against Cleveland. I mean,
I
come on.
I respect nothing.
See if they'll bring that one back out after getting the finalists announced today. We'll see. 216-474-0092. Do the Cavs keep the streak alive tonight? I am officially on the record from our conversation with Matt earlier that I bet you the Cavs lose like one of these games to like some team that you have no, that you just assume they would never lose to, and that'll be the game that they somehow lose. I just feels that way. I don't know if it's tonight, but I definitely feel like maybe the second Bulls matchup it happens. We'll see. But I want to get to your calls on this here in a second. Real quick, I was talking about whether or not this year was rock bottom for the Browns. We got a couple tweets. Tyler Lowe said, rock bottom was when the ball hit the turf after skipping through Corey Coleman's hands in 2017. And that would be the end of the 1-31 stretch with Hugh Jackson. So clearly, Tyler believes that was rock bottom for the organization. Tom Brennan says, this isn't rock bottom, but handcuffed. You can't do anything about it except hope cap goes up exponentially. Yeah, I mean, that is the one saving grace, I guess. The two saving graces are you draft the right quarterback and you nail it, or the cap goes up so much that the Deshaun contract just doesn't really become an issue and you can still sort of work around it and go from there. We'll see if that happens. Last year, the cap went up by a larger margin than people had initially anticipated. So maybe that happens again. But, yeah, it's not a great place to be, which is why I think that now is a worse rock bottom than 1-31. And that's just from reading the fan base. Like, you guys and the reactions to this season and these games and this quarterback have been as low as I've ever seen them. So I can't think anything other than this being, like, the worst situation this team's ever sort of faced since 1999. That's where my head's at. All right, let's talk about a good team. Cavs go for 12-0 tonight. Do they get it done? Alfonso in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
Hey, Spencer. How you doing, man?
Good, man. What's up?
I think that your guys' Cavs will win tonight. I think they keep the streak going. And I think they've been playing since what I've been
Alfonso,
watching.
Alfonso, real quick. When are you going to take the plunge, man? Like, you call in all the time. I know you're a Cleveland fan for the other sports teams. You like the Guardians. You like the Browns. When are you just gonna take the plunge and add the Cavs to your fandom and just be a Cavs fan? When's that gonna happen?
That will not happen. That will not happen. I'm not jumping ship just because they're 11-0. That doesn't work like that.
What if they get to 12-0? What if they get to 15-0?
That will not happen, Spencer.
What if they beat your Knicks in the playoffs?
That will still not happen.
All right.
You got jumped. That's all right. I mean, you're a Red Sox fan from Western New York, from Rochester, New York. Let's just say that.
In fairness, I was not born in Western New York, but yes, I did spend a good chunk of my life there. Yes, that is true. But I did not assimilate to the Yankees fandom just because I was in New York. That is like the most basic thing you can do when you live in New York is just be like, oh, I'm just going to be a Yankees fan because I live here. So
you said the Mets. You could have said the Mets.
I was already on the Red Sox train at that point. It was too late. It was too late for me.
All right. Well.
Anyway.
Well, hopefully your Cavs do something in the playoffs for your guys' sake.
Yeah, we'll see. We want to get to 12-0 first, and we want to get to 15-0, and then see what happens when we play the Celtics on November 19th. That's what we're all waiting for.
15-0. That ain't happening.
You don't think so? They got the Bulls twice, the Sixers when Joel Embiid will probably be out, and the Hornets. That's their schedule until they play the Celtics on the 19th. You don't think they can get to 15-0?
No, you'll lose to the. You got the Bulls twice. You said the Bulls twice.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll lose to the Bulls again.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they are going to lose to the Bulls one of these games because it's just that's going to be like the team that you wouldn't think they'd lose to, and then that's who they're going to lose to. That's
they won't
guess.
Lose to the Hornets because the Hornets can't capitalize in games, and they won't lose to the Sixers because Sixers are just
The Sixers.
A trend. Oh, and by the way, real quick about your money topic, it depends. If someone loses their wallet, then I'll go to the police department and give it back to them. But if it's like $100, I'm keeping that.
I appreciate it, Alfonso, and I don't have to have a guilty conscience. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I never said. If it was somebody's wallet, I would obviously return the wallet. I might take $5 out, but no, I'm kidding. If it was somebody's wallet, I would return the wallet. That would have their ID in it, ideally. You would at least know that it belonged to somebody. You'd see their address on there. But if it's just $100, I don't, you know, like, you can't play the game of like chasing everybody around asking if they lost $100, because eventually someone's going to say yes, and then you're going to be like, well, am I keeping this? Do I believe that it's actually yours? All right, I guess I'll give it to you. And then somebody else walks out with the money, and you look like a sucker. So you just keep it. Anything over $100, though, I guess you got to at least think about trying to track the owner down. But I don't know. I think $1,000 might be my limit. Even if karma's going to come back and get me in the end. All right, guys. It's been a fun show. I appreciate the 3 hours I got to spend with Matt, and hopefully you enjoyed our conversations. I had a lot of fun actually debating the Browns. If Browns fans can cheer for the Lions or not. I thought I don't know if we accomplished the end goal of like figuring out that's official that you can, but we got close. Big thanks to Ethan Sands, who joined us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Go back to 3 o'clock if you want to hear that, or you can find it at 92thefan.com. Lance Reisland, who joined us at 6 o'clock. Same thing. Go back, find it. It's on the website as well. For Kayla, for Anthony, for Jake Murn, who did the updates for the first hour, appreciate you guys as always. I'll be back tomorrow night on the night show, 7 to 11. Until then, we appreciate you. Happy Veterans Day. Go Cavs. It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Talk to you tomorrow, Cleveland.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.